So to start the sermon today, I wanted to start with a little bit of testimony, because everyone later on in the sermon is going to have an opportunity to give testimony. You don't have to give testimony, so don't start sweating it now. But anybody who feels led will be able to share how God has been working and revealing himself in your life towards the end of the sermon today. So I figured I would kick us off with the testimony, though. And seeing it's only 9 o'clock, I've got like an hour and a half, so this can take a while. So I think most of you, if you were here my first Sunday in January, I shared that we had this amazing Christmas Eve experience at my house with my family. And Amelia was so close to saying a prayer to ask for forgiveness for her sins and accept Jesus. And we talked and we asked if she wanted to say that prayer. And she talked some more, asked us more questions. And at the end, her response was, "I think I want to think about it some more." So we were so close Christmas Eve. And then a few weeks later, she got out of bed and came downstairs and wanted to talk about Jesus with Mom. So she got up and they talked for a while about God and what it all meant, and until she started asking questions about random things to avoid going back to bed. And then the next day she tried it again, and she came down because I was home, and, "Daddy, I want to talk about Jesus." And I said, "Sweetie, I want to talk about Jesus too. First thing when we wake up tomorrow morning." So right now, why don't you head back up to bed? But Tuesday of this week, while I was here at our BPUMC leadership team meeting, I got home and it was probably 9:30, and Amelia's still on the couch. And I walk in the door and Jessica, excited, says, "I let her stay up because she has something she wants to tell you." So I'm a little nervous because I never know what's coming from her, and it had been a while, so I sit down next to her on the couch, and she starts telling me how she has asked God to forgive her for her sins and accepts Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior. And what an awesome moment that was for us as a family as we celebrated and hugged her and just were all excited about this decision that she made. And I'm one who is always skeptical, though, about little kids accepting Jesus. Because as parents, we can kind of get them to do what we want. It may take some work, but we can get them to say a prayer if we really want to, right? But we were very careful that this had to be a God thing. This wasn't us trying to push this prayer on her. We hadn't even brought it up in a while. And she came down and she brought it up. But the place where I really saw God at work, where God really revealed himself to me in a new way, was that he can speak to even four-year-olds. Because the response, as we were talking after our little celebration, Amelia said to me, and I know my daughter very well, this was not my daughter. She said, "You know, Dad, I'm still nervous about going to heaven. I'm not ready yet. But I want to be there someday with you and Mom and my brothers." And then she went on to a few other people that they need to hear that we have to ask for forgiveness, that God wants us there with him. And I know that that was not my four-year-old just coming up with that. All I could think of is when Peter announces or proclaims that Jesus is the Messiah, that he is the Christ, and Jesus says to him, "Blessed are you, Peter, for this did not come from you, but my Father revealed this to you." And I know that that is what happened Tuesday night. God revealed something to that little girl. And God revealed something to me through my little girl. Today, like I said, towards the end of the sermon here, we're going to provide opportunities because we want to hear how God is working in your life, how God is revealing himself to you. So I would ask that you would be praying about this, that you'd really be thinking about what is God calling me to share that I can encourage my brothers and sisters in Christ here this morning. Now would you open up with me to John 14. We're going to read verses 25 to 31. All this I have spoken while still with you, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. You heard me say I am going away, and I am coming back to you. If you loved me, you would be glad that I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. I have told you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe. I will not speak with you much longer, for the prince of this world is coming. He has no hold on me, but the world must learn that I love the Father and that I do exactly what my Father has commanded me. Come now, let us leave. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, again we come before you. We lift ourselves up to you, Father. We pray, do a work in us, Lord. We give you ourselves. We give you our bodies, our minds, our souls. Do with us what you would. Father, speak to us today. Reveal yourself to us today in a new way, a mighty way. Whether through my words or not, let your words fall on the hearts of each one of us, and let each of our hearts be ready to receive what you have for us. Lord, if there is any anger or bitterness or any sin that we are holding on to that would prevent your word from landing on us, Father, from really making a difference in us, we pray for forgiveness. We pray that you would take these things away from us, that we might be sold out to you, that we might be just ready to receive you. Father, do a mighty work today. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So in this passage, there's a few things that we see that we're going to talk about. First of all, we see Jesus say, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you." We have peace. Recently, there was a survey done, and one of the questions on that survey was, if you could choose what you want most in life, what would you ask for? And the most common answer was peace. We live in a world with broken marriages, with split families, with children being abused, with a political system that's broken, with a pandemic going all around us. We live in a world where peace is not easy to come by. Is it any wonder that our biggest desire is for peace? And the world would tell us that we can have peace, and the world will offer us things to give us peace. Alcohol, drugs, even food, immoral relationships, endless entertainment as distraction. The world offers up these things to us as a substitute for peace, but that is not where we will find our peace. If that's where we found peace, this would be a much happier place. It'd be easy to go to those things. And it is easy, but we have to look somewhere else. Because true peace does not come from this world. True peace comes from Jesus Christ. True peace comes from God alone. It is only God through whom we can find peace. There's a great example of this in the scriptures. I'm going to read to you, actually I've got it already typed out. I'm going to read to you Acts 7. 54 through 60. And I want you to understand about peace, first of all. Peace is not the absence of trial. Peace is not the absence of conflict. Peace is something more than that. So in Acts 7, 54 through 60, there's the story of Stephen. When the members of the Sanhedrin heard what Stephen was saying, they were furious and gnashed their teeth at him. But Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, looked up to heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. "Look," he said, "I see heaven open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." At this, they covered their ears and yelling at the top of their voices, they all rushed at him, dragged him out of the city, and began to stone him. Meanwhile, the witnesses laid their coats at the feet of a young man named Saul. While they were stoning him, Stephen prayed, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." Then he fell on his knees and cried out, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." When he had said this, he fell asleep. Even while Stephen was being stoned to death, he had peace. He knew the peace that was from God. And we see that in the way he responded. Do we have that kind of peace when the world is hurling its troubles at us, plummeting in us with our trials? Do we know this peace? And it's easy to say, well, this was biblical times. God worked different then. You know, we don't have this same thing now. But a few months ago, Olivia shared the story of Horatio Spafford. Horatio Spafford, in 1871, he was a Chicago businessman, and he had a wife, four daughters, and a son. And they were a God-fearing family. But in 1871, first they lost their son to pneumonia. Then the Great Chicago Fire decimated their business. But God is good. God helped them through that trial, and God rebuilt that business. 2 years later, in 1873, they were heading to Europe. But something happened with Horatio's business, and he had to stay behind to take care of some problems with the company. So he sent his wife and four daughters on ahead of him, and he said he would be on the boat 4 days later. There was another boat, and he would meet them in Europe. So his wife Anna and his four daughters get on the boat, a French ocean liner, heading across to Europe. And on the way, that ocean liner collided with another ship. As that ship went down, Anna ran down below the deck and got her four daughters and brought them up to the top of the deck. And it is said that she prayed that God would save them, that he would protect them. But she prayed more than that. She prayed, "But God, whatever your will is, let it be done to us. And give us the courage to face whatever we have to face." A while later, as rowboats were going around that area, a man on a rowboat found a woman floating on some debris, and it was Anna. Anna was rescued. She was taken to Europe, and while she was there, she sent a telegram to her husband, Horatio. And that telegram said, "Saved alone. What shall I do?" Horatio would save that telegram and frame it, and he had it in his office. When Horatio got on the next boat he could get on, and he was heading across to meet with Anna, they got to the spot where their ship had gone down, and the captain called him to his cabin or wherever and told Horatio that that's where his daughters had drowned. As, like I said, I think Olivia shared with us, it was on that journey, during that experience, that he wrote, "It is well with my soul." When peace, like a river, attendeth my way, or sorrows like sea billows roll, Whatever my lot thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. Despite what he went through, he still had the peace of God. God is still working today the same way he did with Stephen, the same way he did with Horatio. He still will do that in our lives today. You see, Horatio understood what Paul was talking about in Philippians 4. When he said, whether in plenty or in want, I have learned to be content in all situations. No matter what was going on, he had the peace of God. We too can have the peace of God when we know Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior. God will do a mighty work in us. And even the most difficult times, we will not walk through them alone. We have peace from God. And if we have that peace from God, if we know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, if God, the God of the universe, who does not dwell in the sky but dwells all around us and within the believer, if that God that gives us peace is in us, then what do we have to be afraid of? Like Jesus says, do not be afraid. We have courage. And again, a great example of courage. And we're going to skip to a story about a pastor that we got to meet in Cuba on a missions trip. This pastor, I'll be honest with you, he kind of changed my life in many ways. This pastor was, he had a weird name. I can't remember it. It was spelled much different than it was pronounced. So I actually had it written down somewhere, and I couldn't find it. I had it written phonetically so I'd be able to say it forever, and then I lost it somewhere. But this man was shorter than I am, so well under 6'7". And he was just a small man, too. But when he spoke, you sensed the power of God in him. And it wasn't that he had some booming voice or great voice to listen to or anything like that. He was rather soft-spoken, I think, too. And yet, talking to him, I knew that God was in this man. He was a man of God, and he was doing great things. And the way it changed my life was I recognized that if God could do these things through somebody who's just normal, like the rest of us, God could do things through me as well. It was a powerful time with him. But the most amazing thing about him that we got to hear about was his courage. You see, he was in Cuba during the revolution. And after the revolution, when the communists began to take over, it became evident that Christians were going to be arrested, particularly pastors. So many of the pastors in Cuba fled. But this man recognized that his people needed God. And even though he knew that it meant he would be arrested, he would be sent to a concentration camp, both of which happened. He knew that he needed to stay and do what God had called him to do. When we have the Holy Spirit dwelling in us, when we have the peace of God, we have that courage from God as well. And there's many times when God is going to call us to do things, and we're not going to want to do it. We're going to think, no, God, that's awkward. I don't want to do that. This man stayed to be arrested. We can do the simple things God is calling us to do here in our country. When you're getting your hair cut, and the person cutting your hair tells you that she has cancer, you pray with that girl. When you're at the store and you see somebody who you know that's struggling, you pray with them. You go up to them, you talk to them. For Fight Club, I had to find a stranger to pray with. I did not want to walk the streets of Jamestown, but I only had 2 hours left or I was going to get a strike at Fight Club, so I had to go through Jamestown. And I didn't want to talk to the first group of people that God led me to. But I took courage because I knew that God would do something awesome. So when I went up to the first couple and I said, "Do you believe in prayer and can I pray for you?" The woman was like, "Yes!" And I said, "What can I pray for?" And she went into this long ordeal that she was having with her daughter at the time, who was a teenager, so you can guess there was issues. Sorry, my teenage friends. So I prayed over her, and I prayed over her friend that was there as well, who had some other things he wanted prayer for. When I stepped out of my comfort zone and did what God called me to do, here's the amazing part of that, though. I felt the Spirit of God in such a powerful way. My assignment was done. I could go back to my car, come here to make it in time for my meeting and tell people I had checked it off my list. But I was so filled with the Spirit of God that I went down the street looking for the next person that I could pray with. God, what else are we going to do? Let's do this. God will give us courage. And we have a choice, though, with every situation that comes. We can turn away and say, "No, that's too difficult." But imagine what we're going to miss out on. Or we can listen to God's voice and see what amazing thing he has in store for us that day. God gives us peace. God gives us courage. And as Jesus also says in this passage, God has given us revelation. Jesus says, "I have told you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe." God has revealed himself through his Son. God has revealed himself through his Word. God continues to reveal himself through the Holy Spirit. God is working still today. So now is the time. I want to hear from you guys. How have you seen God at work in your life? And if you raise your hand, Mike back there or John is going to come to you with a microphone so that the people online will be able to hear this as well. But is there anybody who wants to share a testimony, as Pastor Joe calls them, of what God has done in your life, how God has revealed himself to you?
Hello, I'm Dave. I'm actually good friends with Tom and Mike here. And just to make this quick, a couple of weeks ago when I started coming back here, Mike actually had texted me a song, said, "I think God wants you to listen to this song." That morning, I was having such a rough day in the house, I could feel an evil presence in my house. I asked the Lord to protect me. I cast it out, not expecting God to honor it because I wasn't living for him. Well, he did anyway, and then Mike sent me a song that I think God wants you to listen to this, bud, so I did. And I was already thinking about coming to church. I didn't want to until he said that. And then since I had done that, I rededicated my life to Christ. Amen. And Friday, I believe it was, or a couple days ago, I can't remember when, but I called my three older children's adopted parents that I haven't seen in almost 10 years. And I just had a question. I don't know why I thought this. Like, "Hey, Corey, I just wanted to ask, do I have to wait until Dominic, my oldest, 21st birthday, to see them again because of his disability and they'd have guardianship?" And she said, "No, Because once this pandemic calms down and they open up the parks, you're invited to come see them. And it's been June 16th of 2011 was the day I last saw them. And I could see that God, throughout the whole thing with the finger, I could see his fingerprints on the situation. And even with my youngest, who's in the nursery, who loves coming here, by the way, I can see his blessing on my life. But I think one of the reasons is he's told me, you need to still pray for them, because to me, you are still their dad. So I've been praying for them. And I also ask that you guys pray for my oldest daughter, Rachel, who feels unwanted because she's being picked on because she's been adopted. And she's had many sleepless nights. But it just, when I heard that, and Corey told me this, I feel God saying, it's time. Get ready.
And so I told my wife that story the other night, and her response was, because she knows Dave well also, was, it's amazing what God does when you start sincerely serving him, the way he works. Is there anybody else who would have courage enough to share?
I knew God wanted me to speak. My heart's been pounding. And I guess I want to talk about the faithfulness of God to me. Since Brad, my first husband, was diagnosed with cancer in 2017, God was faithful, and we walked through that together, and then God called him home in May of 2018. So God was very faithful, gave us peace, gave me peace to walk through that journey with him, and then walk through my journey as a widow. And then God brought Cam and I together, whom I've known Cam for 35 years. Brad and I did. We were friends. So that was just a beautiful thing to already be friends. So last year, in the midst of the pandemic, we got married. So, with 10 people in attendance is all. So the church was empty when we turned around to walk out, but it was still a beautiful thing. So we've rescheduled our public ceremony and reception 6 times now. We're now into May of 2022 when that will happen. But God has been faithful and good. And we ended 2020 with experiencing COVID together. So we went from a real high of getting married to a low of going through COVID for 2 weeks. But God was faithful. He brought us through that. It amazes me, you know, what God brought us through, and when some people haven't made it. So I have to believe God has more for us to do here, or we wouldn't be here. So I praise the Lord for all he's done. He's amazing, and he's been faithful. Thank you.
Mike, I think there's one right beside you there.
Hi, my name is Cindy, and I am a recovering alcoholic and addict. In January, I had 35 years of sobriety. So that's a big deal. It's a really big deal. I did not do that myself. God was totally in charge, and our third step is being willing. So when I stay out of the way, out of the driver's seat, and listen, I get that peacefulness. And my job is to help another person who struggles. We all have something, and that's what my gift is, apparently. That's what it is. Keep on ticking. Thank you.
Anybody else who would like to share? Up over here, John. Oh, you got another one? I'm sorry. Okay, we'll get up to you next.
Hello. I just wanted to say, one of the gals that I work with at the Office for the Aging, we were chatting one day, and she said she'd lost her Bible, and we just had this conversation, and I thought, you know, Ollie's has a lot of Bibles out there, you know. Somebody just told me I needed to get her a Bible, and so she was going to be leaving us because of they were downsizing in that, so I got her a Bible, and she was, oh my goodness, she was just tickled that she got this Bible, and so she's been reading it, but she's been a Christian for, she's Catholic, but she hadn't been reading it for a long time, and she was just diagnosed with cancer, so she's treating right now at Roswell, but she's called me so many times to say, thank you for my Bible. She said, thank you for my Bible. She said she's been sharing it with everybody that she's been meeting up there, and she's just been meeting so many wonderful people that have been, and she's been praying with them, and they've been praying with her, and it's just been such a blessing to me as well, because, you know, I keep telling her, it was not from me, Marianne, it's from the Lord. He told me to buy you that, you know. So it was just neat how he uses us in such small ways sometimes to be a blessing to others. So when he tells you something, just do it. So thanks.
Paige over there. Then we'll probably have time for one more if there's anybody else who wants to share after Paige.
Hi, my name is Paige, and I'm pretty new to this church, and I have dealt with, like, mental health issues, and I used to think that the way to deal with that was through, you know, like, vaping and drugs and just all the wrong things. And one day I showed up to youth group with my friend just to see what it was like. And from that day, I gave myself to Christ, and I just really delved into it. And since then, I had no temptation to do any of those things. Amen. My life has gotten so much happier, and it's just crazy how God can work through you when, like, the fact that I was dependent on those things to give me happiness, and now it's God that gives me happiness, and there's no temptation whatsoever.
Amen. Okay. I don't see anybody else. Okay. So what has God revealed to us through these experiences? When we sincerely serve God, he will bless us in ways we didn't even imagine he would, like Dave said. We find healing from addiction, from physical illness. You know, God works in our lives. God reveals himself in so many ways. And I was thinking about Ephesians, let me find it here, Ephesians 5, where Paul says, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. And as I was reading that passage, I thought, what are the psalms from David? David's psalms are filled with his failings, with his praises, with his request, with the revelation that he's received from God about who God is and what God is going to do. All those things are in the psalms. So when Paul tells us to speak to one another in psalms and songs and hymns, what is he telling us to do? We should be encouraging one another with our stories of what God is doing in our lives. I know it's easy to talk about sports. I know it's easy to talk about politics. It's easy to talk about entertainment and movies and everything else. But maybe as a church, what we need to start talking more about is how God is revealing himself to us and what he is calling us to do and what he wants to do with us as individuals and with us as a church. So as Jesus said, let us be the church. Jesus says, you are not alone. He says, come now, let us leave this week. Walk into the reality that Jesus has revealed. We're going to pray together. I invite you to come up and pray at the altar while I'm praying or while the band is playing, and somebody will join you for prayer. If you don't want to come up front, use the prayer room. But let's become a church of prayer, a church where we lift up our brothers and sisters. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, again, we come before you with thanksgiving and praise for all you've done. I thank you for the people today who were not afraid, who took courage to share what you are doing in their life, Father. I thank you for the way that encourages all of us so we get to hear that you are a God that is still working today. Not just a God that worked thousands of years ago, Lord, but a God who dwells in us, around us, and that you are still at work. Father God, pour your spirit out on this place and pour your spirit out on each one of us. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Wonderful, sing hallelujah. As you wait for a crown, tell the world of the treasure you found.
Would you receive this benediction? May God give you a peace that surpasses all understanding. May He give you a courage to face whatever giants it is in your life. And may He reveal Himself to you this week in a new and mighty way. Amen.
Same rap every week.